Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved, cast out demons, and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com. You may also donate by sending check or money order to 9030 West Sahara Avenue, Suite 665, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89117. We thank you.
Are you ready?
Ready to take a ride. Grab your coffee
and strap yourself in.
If you listen, you can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
Do a sound check. Hello, gentlemen. Good morning. Good evening to you.
Yes.
Can you hear me 5x5?
Good. Yes, this is Major Tom. I can hear you 5x5.
Fantastic.
I can hear you just fine.
Professor Tom,
I can't hear you.
You're coming through an external mic, Professor Tom, instead of your regular mic. Go into your Skype settings. And look at your microphone and make sure it's on Logitech. Welcome aboard, everybody.
Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Stand by.
Blog Talk Radio.
You want me to walk you through it, Brother Tom?
Already dead.
Check your headset and see if it's plugged in to the USB port.
Yeah, it's plugged in. I just checked that.
Ah, there you go.
Well, you're coming in as you turn to your mic. You came in 5x5.
Yes.
Well, what happened? It's it went to default. Default.
You want
speaker on my computer?
You're back on your external mic again. Tell you what, tap the end of your headset mic with your hand. Yeah, we're not hearing that at all. Check and see if the USB is a little bit loose.
Shouldn't be.
Do you have
another? Boy, that comes in as soon as you turn to your right towards your mic, you come in.
Yeah, is there another mic over there on your side or something? Your external mic?
No.
Okay.
It wouldn't play if I did.
Do this so we don't burn up our hour. Go to your Skype settings.
Okay.
And I want you to hit those three dots in the upper left-hand corner.
Yeah, I already done that.
Okay, go back to settings.
Right there in your settings. And I'm
okay.
Seeing.
Go to audio and video.
Yeah.
And then scroll down to microphone and tell me what it says.
Okay, I've got the... It's picking me up.
What's it say right
yeah,
next
you're,
to the
you're
word
good.
Microphone?
You're good now.
No, he's not good yet. Another microphone's picking him up. Tom Mack, what does it say right next to your word microphone?
It says microphone, Logitech, USB headset.
You see the red dots moving?
Yeah, I see.
The blue dot?
And the blue one, mine.
Okay, and move your microphone down to from 0 to 10.
What do we got here?
Also, turn automatically adjust microphone settings off.
Yeah, I do, because it doesn't seem to work with you.
Move it, the ball to 10.
Yeah, I have it on 10.
Okay, down below that noise cancellation off.
Okay, you want me to turn it off?
Try that.
Today it's okay, but most days I have to have a little bit on because of the air condition. But.
Do you have the headset I sent to you? Do you still got it?
Yeah, it's over on the other computer.
Can you grab and swap it out? Because the one you got's not working. You want to do that? Ooh. And we'll get Major Tom to start up? Okay. Okay, hang on. Brother Tom's going to hook us up. Professor Tom, how are you doing?
Oh, you mean Major Tom?
No. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Aren't you both a major and a professor? You could be a professor in college.
I did not instruct in college. No.
But you did instruct in the battlefield, right?
Oh, absolutely, all the time.
So they could have called you professor out there in the in Da Nang somewhere.
Well, yeah, but to be a professor of death is what I was, so it wouldn't have been a very marketable profession.
And if we changed professor to confessor, you could have been a confessor of Jesus Christ in the battlefield, right?
Well, yes.
Amen.
And fortunately, the Lord has much grace and much mercy, because even though I was a very fervent private believer at that point in time, I was not a good witness. I was doing my own thing. I did always understand and acknowledge that during the intense battles that we had, that God, in fact, accomplished the life-saving actions that kept me alive. And it was very, very clear that he did that all the time.
Amen. Professor Tom, sound check?
Yeah.
Okay, you're good. All right.
Okay.
And if you want, I'll
I think
drop
the other
you.
Thing, too, is you can't put these USB mics in a USB 3 port for some reason.
I don't know. But you sound good now. And
yeah.
If you want another headset, I'll get you another one. You can put one on each system if you want. You sound good. Well, we're going to get started. Everybody, welcome aboard. I've got peanuts in my mouth. That's my morning snack to break the fast. It's a few hours before
what time
gets
is
up.
Exactly there?
Well, right now it's 7:05. And
okay.
Yes.
My stomach
reason
is usually...
I'm asked,
go ahead.
Then you must be 08.
I'm plus 12 hours ahead from East Coast.
Yeah.
And 14 okay. from
yes.
you.
Yes, you know, that's correct. Yeah, you're actually in 26 now, and we're in 25.
You know, in the morning, for a while, I would have cramps until breakfast time. And I thought, what mm-hmm. the heck? This does feel good every day. So I said, Mom's not up. She didn't have to, nobody's here to fix me any breakfast. And I'm not the best cook. So I said, I need something to snack on. So I started eating cashew nuts, throwing a couple of pumpkin seeds for the prostate. Also, it's good iron. You know, mixed nuts, whatever, walnuts, cashews, you name it. And I find out it takes away those hunger pains, and it's good protein. So, you know, it's breaking the fast.
Amen.
It is. As mm-hmm. long as it is some peanuts.
And then in a few mm-hmm. hours, you know, get some eggs and whatever, some coffee, whatever. Anyway, we're going to get started. I encourage you out there to eat your cashew nuts. Well, we're live with Professor Tom and Major Tom. Gentlemen, you want to open us in prayer? The mic is yours.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we call upon you right now, and we praise you for who you are and what you are doing and all of the unseen blessings that you have accomplished on our behalf. We praise you for that, and we thank you, Father. We thank you for your point of refuge for us so that we can actually come under the protection of your wings. Not to be found or even detected by the enemy, but to be totally in your presence. We thank you, Father, for this. We ask, Lord, that you come against the principalities and the powers and the forces of evil and darkness and wickedness that would have this world of humans destroyed. We call upon you in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we command these spirits and forces and powers to be bound right now and to be cast off all of your people, dear Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, we praise you and we command this and we thank you and pray this. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Gentlemen, over to you. Welcome back. Good to hear your voices.
Thank you.
Well, like I say, usually what we do with our programs, we start with some updates. And I think it's getting to the point where the updates are taking over the show. But, you know, we have to deal with them because some of these things are very important. And we've got some things ongoing right now that are making a lot of difference.
Amen.
And the head of the WHO went against his own medical committee when he called monkeypox the next epidemic. Mind you, the head of the WHO has some very questionable behavior when he was dictator of Ethiopia. And they promote him to this, even though he's not a medical doctor. I would think that somebody who's the head of the World Health Organization should at least be either a medical doctor or a doctor of osteopathic medicine. Maybe at a minimum a nurse. Whatever the case, we now are getting these declarations based upon power grabs and not science.
Exactly.
In fact, science has become the furthest thing from these people's minds.
I saw a notice also that they were proclaiming there were only 5 deaths worldwide of monkeypox. And you call that a pandemic?
Not hardly. I mean, when was the last real case of smallpox? Yet I remember when I went into the Army, not only did I get a smallpox vaccine, I got a booster, and so did you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Though I understand that probably for the last 20 years, they haven't been giving smallpox and boosters. Because I remember we had about 3 or 4 guys who were allergic to the chicken egg regimen that they use to create those, and so they had to get a different shot. And in fact, we had a couple of guys who reacted to the shot because they hadn't gotten very much medical treatment as they grew up, and suddenly these things are discovered.
Yes.
And so I don't want to think about what's going to happen if they try to. Are they going to try using cobra eggs this time?
Boy.
I'm getting facetious now, so I...
Yes.
But I'm just getting to this place where... And the next thing, slide 3, talks about the Tennessee Liberty Network. And we have the report republished on this website, so... You can download it and read it. We've also put Dr. Stephen Pidgeon's report on the mark of the beast and how the vaxes together are the mark of the beast. Mm-hmm. They have literally rewrote our operatings, trying to rewrite our operating systems. And on my Bible Code website, I show a presentation of how they want to deaden the part of the mind that relates to the soul.
Yes. Operating system being DNA that you're talking about.
Right.
Right? Yes. Exactly.
And, okay, well, how does RNA fit into it? I'm sure this is something that's confused a lot of people, and it might be a good...
Okay, the DNA is your normal blueprint for your body to be what it is. The RNA is the chemical version of the repair machine that goes along and repairs the DNA. And it works specifically on your DNA, not somebody else's, because that's what it's tailored to. It's individually tailored to every one of the over 7 billion, well, about almost 8 billion people right now. No one has the same as the other. However, they are similar in their functions. But the RNA, you can look at it as a little repair machine that goes along and detects rips and tears and damages that occur and literally pulls those out, processes and generates the correct code, and then splices it in its proper place. It's sort of like editing a 16 millimeter or a 32 millimeter film, movie film, where you, if you have a damaged portion, you cut out that particular portion, and because there's so many frames, if it's not too long, it won't give you any noticeable flicker or anything. And if you have another version of that same thing, and normally any movie house has more than one version of that particular movie, or at least one of the centers that distributes it, they would have it, because they're the ones that do most of the splicing, and they would simply take out a portion of that.
Take out the bad portion, put in the good.
Put in the good, exactly. And that's what the RNA is. You can think of it as that.
Another way to think of it is, you know, we write computer programs, and it's a set of instructions to tell the computer what to do in given situations. Yes. But if some of that gets corrupted, which can happen in time, because disks are not perfect, they wear out over time. And when that starts to happen, that's when you have to replace the section of code that's bad with a good section, and you have to take the old out and put in the new, and then your program works right.
Yes, that's correct.
And yes, I've done that a lot in my life, and and so have you, for that matter. And yep. You'll see a bad couple of lines of code and say, "How did that happen? I didn't do it."
Mm-hmm.
It's the disk.
Yep.
And, you know, a boss is going to have to buy you some new disks here one of these days. We just can't keep fixing this over and over again.
You know, it's interesting you would mention that, because I had a situation occur. And this is back in the day when the largest disk you had was, I don't even remember, 10 something.
10 megabytes?
No, not megabytes. Just
10 kilobytes.
Kilobytes. I think it was 10 kilobytes. Yeah. At any rate, I had a hard disk that with a fixed disk and a removable platter disk that you in that removable platter disk was, so I'm going to estimate it now because I don't have it in front of me, but I would say it was probably 24 inches across in diameter, and it had a read-write arm that, with its head, that had to go out there and locate the section that you wanted to go to and line up the data that was on the fixed disk with the removable disk, because the fixed disk had the code and the removable disk had the data. And it had two resistors, one on each side of the arm, to make sure that the electronic synchronization and mechanical synchronization occurred correctly. Well, one evening, a telephone repair crew came in, and I didn't realize who they were, and they just grabbed the telephone cable, and it was all right along the edge of the mop board on the room that was right next to the wall, right next to me. And of course, my power cords were right there too. Well, it pulled out my power cords and gave me a power surge.
Oh, cute.
And I didn't know this at the time, but it fried one of those resistors.
Oh, no.
So the next morning I came in and I was under pressure trying to get this one particular program to initiate, and I had to code it first. I got that done. And then I went over to run the program, the full version of the program, to get it the product I wanted, and it wouldn't come up because I was now accessing the hard and the removable disk, whereas before I was just operating off of memory and floppy disk. So now, yeah, I tried everything I could. Nothing would work. And my coworkers were coming in. First, it was once every 10 minutes, and then it came on down to once every 30 seconds. And you got 12 guys all in line. When are you ready? When are you ready? Because they had to brief the commanding general, and they were really under pressure, and I hadn't gotten them the product yet. And so I went up to this. My office is on the second floor. The action officers were on the first floor, second floor, and third floor. So I went up to the third floor, and in the back part of the third floor was the men's latrine, and right beside it was a very small closet-like briefing room, private briefing room that you could have. You could have an interview in it or whatever you wanted. So I went into that room. That was my prayer room, prayer closet. Went in there and I was praying to the Lord to give me the patience and the compassion and the love for my fellow officers and co-workers so that I would not blow up under the pressure that they were putting on me, because their voices were accelerating at that point in time in volume, and I didn't want to treat them in kind. I wanted to keep things diffused and take care of them. Well, and I was running out of patience. I could really watch it happen. So I went up there to get refilled. And when I finished with that, and he did. He came, his Holy Spirit came, refilled me. And I said, oh, by the way, Lord, could you please tell me what I need to do to bring this computer back up online so it'll work? And right on just like we're talking right now, with no interruption in between time of my asking the question and his answer gave me in a thought. It came to me as though it were a thought, but it wasn't my thought. It was, go downstairs, turn the computer off and the disk drive off. Once it's spooled down, pick up the removable platter, reach underneath and turn it clockwise, 1/4 turn. Put it down in its on the disk drive and reseat it, lock it in, and then start everything up. I did that and bam, just like that, it worked like a charm. Got everything done, and action officers were happy and everything else. Well, after about 10 days, that single resistor failed also. It was just too much for it to handle everything.
And so it's time to quit.
Yeah. And so the technician came in, he looked at it and he says, oh yeah, you got both of them. One had been fried sometime earlier, and then this one just fried. So all he did is just replace it, and everything worked fine. It didn't take more than half a day, I think, and I was back in business again. So, but that was God repairing a very complicated situation where the program that was written for the data and the data itself, which never were in sync, were actually back in sync physically, one on top of the other where it had been written, so that it, that one resistor could then automatically pick it up.
Okay, now comes the big question. If somebody is injecting fake RNA into a human system, what's going to happen to the DNA in that system?
It will end up being corrupted and be a mirror image of the corruption. And your whole, not just that one cell, but every cell will be programmed eventually to produce the corruption. So that if you have a spliced in portion that makes you part serpent, you're going to have your whole body become part serpent.
So in other words, that's why we're getting the shedding of skin. We're getting the contortions in the faces.
That's correct.
And the worst part is we're talking about the Tennessee Liberty Network. Their report is called Follow the Money, Blood Money in the U.S. Healthcare Financial Incentives. And it talks about, and it gives plenty of documentation of how the U.S. government has encouraged hospitals all over the country to diagnose people with COVID-19, whether they have it or not, in exchange for money, which to me is so blasphemous. I mean, it should be a crime. Bribery is usually a crime.
Yes. I'm trying to think. It's one of the news outlets that I have a summary that comes through on it for the day. And it had one for today or yesterday. I got yesterday and today. I didn't see it yesterday. So I had both of them on today. And they came in with a statistic that said of the COVID deaths that are occurring, have occurred for the last year, 90% of the deaths are vaccinated individuals.
That's an incredible number. And then the worst part is this report also talks about how that the government is giving incentives to educational institutions to get students to come on board with COVID-19 protocols. And this, to me, having taught in two colleges, is so incredulous.
Well, it's using him as a guinea pig.
Right. You didn't send your kids to college to become guinea pigs.
No, nor did you send your boy to the military to become a guinea pig. And the military is notorious for you having used us as guinea pigs.
All the time. I wonder how many of those vaccines they gave me when I was going into the Army at 19 years old. How many of those vaccines was somebody's experiment?
That's right.
And I don't know the answer to that, and I doubt I ever will.
No.
I mean, if somebody can get me that answer, I would like to know it. But thankfully, they hadn't, at least in 1974 when I went in, they hadn't gotten to where they could tamper with with RNA yet.
No, that's correct.
They were basically...
They actually were working on it at that point in time, but it was so top secret and in its infancy that it wouldn't have been anything useful yet.
Yeah. I mean, this, I know this research started in the late 30s in Nazi Germany.
Mm-hmm.
We've discovered that through the Bible codes, that most of this research was being done in labs, mostly on concentration camps, where they had their had free sets of bio experiments. You know, people that, well, if they die, well, it's no big deal. But sadly, I'm seeing where that's being used here, but they don't seem to care whether they kill people. And the Nuremberg protocols that were passed after World War II have been thrown out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And that's inexcusable. That's why I put in Stephen's Pigeon's report on the mark of the beast.
Yes.
And how the vax in its total is the mark of the beast. They are using it. And they're going to use it, like Shannon has told us on this program multiple times. They are using this mark. And if you don't have it, you don't travel. And Shannon is literally stuck here.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can't get on a boat. He can't get on a plane. He's literally stuck here.
That's true.
Unless you were to get on a plane, and if Major Baird was to get a plane and come out here and get you.
So yeah, it'd have to be a private charter. Yeah, it'd have to be a private charter.
Right now in Indonesia, the status is
that's the only way.
You need two shots to come or go if you want to visit Indonesia as a non-Indonesian. Now, if, for example, you're in Australia, you want to come over here, you need two shots to get in. If you're an Indonesian, to travel anywhere in the country, they require you to have been vaxxed. So my wife can't get on a plane or bus and go anywhere, nor can I in country. I can go one way back to America. That's the my only way out of here. But, of course, I'm not going without taking my entire family. And
no.
My wife can't get out.
Absolutely not.
Unless she's been mm-hmm. vaxxed. So we're stuck for the foreseeable future. And that's the rules here. We can't even get into many malls unless you can prove you've been vaxxed. So this past weekend, we got bored. And I said, I want to go down to Discovery Mall. They got an A&W root beer over there. I wonder if we can get in. And so we went over, and there were two entrances, and we went to walk towards one, and some people were ahead of us, and I saw that guard was enforcing the rule. He makes you pull your phone out, scan a QR code, and it will tell him if you're vaxxed or not. So I prayed before we went in there. I said, God, help us to get in there, and loose the angels to go before us, in Jesus' name. And then I said to my wife as she was walking the drive, I said, no, Mom, over here. And so she followed my lead, and we walked across the parking lot to another guard, and this guy wasn't checking. He was just doing a temperature scan. So God made a way. We would have been blocked the other way, but he opened the door the other way, and I thought, well, if God can do this, he can certainly do even bigger things. So
Amen. We're
having faith that at the right time, if he wants us to pull out of here, we could do it. But that's the situation. Many parts of the world, they will not let you get on a plane, even in country, without vaccines. And now they want the booster shot. They're pushing for that. But I will stick with my guns. This is a slippery slope right into the mark of the beast. I don't believe the full mark has been released yet. I'm like this. If you're